You may be. Legacies of the Living Lord. Have you ever been remembered in someone's will? It happened to me once many, many years ago when I was in seminary and living in Kentucky. I had many odd jobs while I was in school, and one of them was sitting with a lady in a nursing home. Her name was Miss Elizabeth Fuller, and her husband had been one of the former presidents of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Her family hired folks to sit with her around the clock, and I was one of them, and I usually sat with her from about 7, 8 o'clock at night till about 7 the next morning. So I did the third shift, that graveyard shift, they like to say. Oh, she was a sweet lady who loved the Lord dearly, but was not able to speak much at the time that I was with her in that stage of her life. But I sang to her, I don't tell you how many times, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand." That was her favorite hymn. And she would always say, when we get through, she'd say, "Beautiful, beautiful." And I'd say, "Thank you for being so gracious." But when she passed away, all of those people who were her sitters and caregivers had a very special place at her funeral. And a few months later, we all received a check for $250. And one of her daughters invited us over for lunch and let us pick out a piece of jewelry that had belonged to Mrs. Fuller. The sentiment was a bit overwhelming because I felt most undeserving of any gift or to be a part of her wealth. But she had put it in her will that everyone would be remembered because we were all part of God's family. I learned a lot of that lady who didn't say a lot. But I was in seminary and $250 was like a whole lot of money. At that time, it was a whole lot of money, and I definitely needed it. And I couldn't imagine why someone would do that, because she had a ton of folks around her, and her life had not been an easy life. But she said, "We are all part of God's family." In John's Gospel today, chapters 14 through 16, Jesus gives us His last will and testament. These three chapters contain the legacies that Jesus left behind for all who would follow Him. These are gifts of grace, unearned and undeserved. They have been given to you and they've been given to me strictly because we are a member of His family, and therefore we are joint heirs of the kingdom. Romans 8, 15a through 17 says, "When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him." John 16, 14 and 15 are verses that explain how Jesus intends to deliver the things in His will to you and to me. It speaks of the Holy Spirit and it says He will take what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, the work of the Holy Spirit is to be the delivery person for Jesus. The Spirit takes the things in Jesus' estate and delivers them to His heirs, which are you and me. Consider some of the items in Jesus' will and how the Holy Spirit delivers them to us. Jesus has promised you a supernatural dwelling place in heaven. It's called a mansion. The King James Version says it's many mansions. Compare that to a body that you are living in now, which Paul describes as a tent, a temporary fragile structure in which we all groan. And we do. Have you ever heard yourself move of a morning? Have you ever heard yourself get up out of a chair? If something doesn't creak and crack, you go, "Oh, can't believe." We all creak and groan because our bodies are just a tent. They're a temple for a very short time. It's a temporary, fragile dwelling place. We long, Paul says, to be clothed with this new body and for what is mortal, to be swallowed up by life. But how can we be sure that God will fulfill this hope? 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, because God has deposited the Holy Spirit into our lives as a down payment, a guarantee that that promise is true. A second promise Jesus left with you in His estate is supernatural power. Many theologians note that Pentecost reversed the Tower of Babel that we find in Genesis chapter 11. Because people speaking different languages were able to understand each other that we read about last week in the book of Acts. But why did God confuse the tongues of people at Babel? Genesis 11:6 states that God determined that if humans remained united, they would be able to do anything they proposed to do. Jesus promises in His will that when the Spirit comes, we will be able to come together and do greater works, even greater works than Jesus did in the flesh when He was with us. Jesus suggests that what God will give us is limitless. Jesus promised us yet a third benefit, a supernatural helper. In John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, we find the answer. Jesus says that the one who will come to fulfill this promise will be able to stand beside each of us and live within us simultaneously. What an amazing spirit. What an amazing spirit. It will come and live with each and every one of us at the same time. There are many other important legacies in Jesus' last will and testament. Jesus has given you a promise, you and me, the promise of supernatural peace. He has given us the promise of supernatural friendship. And He has given us the promise of a supernatural witness that we have, that we should use. He has given us peace, He has given us friendship, and He has given us witness. But consider with me one final legacy. The promise of supernatural guidance and instruction. Jesus told those remembered in His will that they would continue to hear from Him. They would continue to hear from Him. Jesus said that He had many things to tell them. Not yet ready to hear. You're not quite ready. You're not quite prepared. I've got many more things to tell you. And as they became ready, He said the Spirit would guide them. You and me, He'll guide you and me and instruct us. The Spirit will take the words of Jesus and deliver them to you and me. You see, the words of Jesus to us will include messages about things to come. Jesus said that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. And you and I are the sheep. Our task is to find time to be quiet, to be still, to remove the static from the line, and to listen to Jesus' voice. How many of you do that during the week? How many of you do that during the day? Take a moment. Find time to be quiet, to be still, to remove the static from the line. Many of us now have cell phones and we don't think we get a lot of static. But guess what? We go in and out of pockets of places sometimes where nobody can hear a word you're saying. Or it sounds like you're garbled. You're hearing every other word. It's just the most ridiculous and annoying thing that I can, it just irritates me. So people don't understand lines because used to we had a phone line. We were attached with something. Now we can walk all over and talk to people all over the place. But that's it. He says sometimes we need to remove that static from our lives. I talked about it last Sunday. Someone said that the Apple needed to name their next items I this and I that because that's what I said. iPhones, iPads, I whatever, I this and I that. All of them. We have all that stuff in our lives that we need to declutter once in a while. We need to get that static away from us. We need to turn them off. We need to put them down. We need to forget they're around for a moment. And take time to be in God's Word, to take time to hear, to take time to listen to that still, small voice. Chuck Swindoll calls these breakthroughs of the Spirit UIPs as opposed to UFOs. These UIPs are unidentified inner promptings. Unidentified inner promptings. The inner spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit within us. I experienced this the way he says that Isaiah did when he wrote, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Be a part of it, experience it." Reach out to the Holy Spirit today. The Spirit is the one who takes the promises of Jesus and delivers them to you and to me. I ask this morning, is your name in His will? Let us pray. Lord, I ask your blessings upon our time this day, upon our time this week, that you allow us, Lord, to know that we are a part of your will. If we only allow ourselves to be there, if we only take that step, make that journey each and every day to come to the throne of grace. So, Lord, I ask this day that you be with us, continue to bless us, continue to lift us up in all that we do. For it is in your Son's great and holy name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 374. Standing on the promises. Know that our altar is always open, and come if you will. Stand as we sing hymn number 374.